Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Good morning, everybody. Penny for your thoughts on this Wednesday, September 5. September, always one of my favorite months for a lot of different reasons. One is just the weather starts to turn cooler, and hopefully that'll be the case here soon. It's been pretty hot early in this month of September. I love the harvest growing up on a farm. Just the smell of it and just the process of getting everything in to the elevator. Did a lot of that growing up, so I always enjoy that. And then football season, of course, with the Illini and everything else going on there. So September always a favorite month of mine. But we're up to September 5 already, middle of the week. Glad you're with us on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Busy, busy news day yesterday. It was like one story after another. The Brett Kavanaugh hearings continuing in Washington, D.C. Bob Woodward, his book, at least the excerpts of it, are beginning to leak out or flood out in some cases. So a lot of reaction to his book, and we'll have some reaction to the reaction to his book that I've been reading about today. So that's been pretty interesting. Big news in Champaign. Champaign City Council last night, two men who claim they were wronged by Champaign police will get a combined $3.7 million in settlement money. The council last night approved $3.5 million to settle a lawsuit. One lawsuit brought by Tishomi Campbell. Another one for $220,000 to Alton Corey, who claimed excessive force by officers during an arrest. And these are a couple of cases that go back a little bit. So Tom Bruno is going to join us in a few minutes and just kind of walk us through some of this. You heard, may have heard the mayor on, Deb Finan. She was on with Dave Gentry. And also Clarissa Forman, who was the one no vote against both settlements. Her comments coming at the Champaign City Council meeting last night as well. If we get a chance, may get a clip of what she said as well, as she was the one no vote in those cases. So anyway, that was a big story locally here in Champaign. So anyway, we'll touch on all of those stories and some more. Big story in Chicago. You talk about big news days. Rahm Emanuel, not going to run again. That was a bit of a jolt. If you look at the Chicago papers today, that is a huge, huge story. And today is Blossom Basket Good Neighbor Day. Hope you're out there picking up a dozen roses for free. Make sure you keep one and hand out the other 11 to friends and strangers and bring smiles to their faces. The Blossom Basket asking for your help. You can donate non-perishable food items for the See You at Home Men's Shelter. And roses, they started handing them out at 7 this morning at either of the Blossom Basket locations at our former studios down the street there at Neal and Windsor. You can do that, or at the News Gazette Media Building. We have some here in our lobby if you want to stop in and pick them up here at 15 Main, downtown Champaign. So hope you'll do that sometime here this morning and bring your non-perishable food items as well. You can bring those right to the radio center here in our News Gazette Media Building. 908 here in Champaign-Urbana, 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. The great thing about that is no matter what we're talking about at the time, you can get the show a different direction if you have a text you want to send in. Sometimes that is something that I will definitely work into the show as we work our way through the show. So maybe we're talking about this and you want to talk about that. Well, you can get us back to that with a text or an email. Certainly can do that anytime during the show. And you can email us, talk at WDWS.com. We'll take our opening timeout. Glad you're with us on this Good Neighbor Day on September 5. And we'll talk about this settlement with the city council last night in Champaign after this. All right, 9:12, 77 degrees here in downtown Champaign. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. And you can email us, as always, at talk@wdws.com. A lot to talk about today, both at the national level and the local level, and the state level, for that matter, up in Chicago, if you're looking at that. But here in Champaign, two men who claim they were wronged by Champaign police will get a combined $3.7 million in settlement money. We've been covering that through News Gazette Media and here on the radio. Tom Bruno is on the Champaign City Council, of course. We've had him on the air in studio. He's on the phone with us this morning. Tom, good morning to you, and kind of a busy night last night.
It was a busy night last night, although the actual City Council meeting wasn't very long time-wise. We had important things on our agenda.
Well, tell me about the settlement. So I guess, first of all, refresh our listeners' memories. Tashomi Campbell, tell me what was the deal with that case and his story in a thumbnail version here.
Sure. It's the Tashomi Campbell case goes back 20 years. There was a murder in 1997. Mr. Campbell was convicted of the murder in 1998. He spent 18 years in prison. The federal court granted a writ of habeas corpus, which is a way to get released from custody, in December of 2015, after 18 years in prison. That writ of habeas corpus was based on ineffective assistance of counsel. So that his conviction from 1998 was vacated. The case comes back to the state court, and the state decides not to prosecute the case. And so he's released from prison in January of 2016. He then petitions the court for what's called a certificate of innocence, when that has the court declare that he was not only not guilty, but he was actually innocent. That was granted by the Champaign County Circuit Court in 2016. Then he files a case in the federal district court against the city, half a dozen police officers, some of which were long since retired, and a local lawyer. And this settlement settles that federal civil rights case that he filed in February 2017 after the Champaign County Circuit Court declared that he was actually innocent of the case he spent 18 years in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this has been in the works for quite a while, and you know, when people hear that figure, that's a lot of money. Now, I guess you probably can't go into a lot of details in the settlement, but the insurance is the big part of this, right?
This was covered by our insurance policy, mm-hmm. and that's a consideration that I think the folks on the City Council, I know I take that into consideration. Whereas if we had stubbornly or said, well, we want to have a jury trial, had it not gone our way, it could have been a judgment that we estimated might have been so large that it would significantly negatively impact the taxpayers of the city of Champaign. It would affect the city's budget, our ability to provide the services that the community expects, and could be millions and millions of dollars not covered by insurance. Mm. So those are the things we have to take into consideration. So we go to our lawyers that are investigating the case, and we ask them for their advice. And as when units of government are facing litigation, the law allows us to consider the recommendations of our lawyers in closed session, because you can't negotiate where we have our hands tied behind our back and our negotiations take place in a public forum. Well, the plaintiff gets to consider his options with his lawyers in privately. Mm-hmm. So that's been going on for many months. We've been getting updates about the status of the litigation and advice from our lawyers about what exposure might mean to the city if we were to go to trial and lose.
And those
and
are
I
all
think last night we yep. those are considerations mm-hmm. that go into why we would reasonably want to settle the case to protect the city from the downside of an adverse verdict. Remember, this is a guy who's already had his conviction overturned on appeal, has gone back to the state court. The prosecutor says, I'm not going to prosecute you again. He goes back to the state court and says, I want a certificate from the court declaring that I was actually innocent. A local circuit court judge grants him that certificate. And he's now been declared to be actually innocent and has spent 18 years in prison. So we've looked at cases similar to this, and settlements range anywhere from $1 to $2 million per year of incarceration. Well, $1 to $2 million per year times 18 years, it exposes the city to $18 to $36 million, most of which would not be covered by insurance. That's the, you know, that's the price of a significant building. That's more than we spent on our library. That's, you know, that's a lot of money. And so we have a fiduciary duty to the city to tread very carefully and consider all of our options.
Tom Bruno is with us from the Champaign City Council for a few minutes, talking about a couple of lawsuits, settlements last night with the council. Also the settlement with Alton Corey, $220,000. The quick story on that one.
Oh, a different set of facts. Mr. Corey was arrested, and he alleged that our police officers did not act appropriately towards him, and we evaluated all the evidence. This was covered in the Champaign newspapers, and there was video of the interaction with the police officers, and we came to the conclusion that it was a fair and just outcome, and to protect the city from the uncertainty of litigation, to settle that case as well.
Mm-hmm. And Greg Stock, I know, said last night, he said this is not a reflection on the officers in either one of these cases.
Yes, that's correct. In fact, our position has been pretty consistent. What we got on the settling the Campbell case was we got a release for all six of these men who have served honorably on the Champaign Police Department. And they were all defendants in this case, too, subject to personal liability. That can make you toss and turn at night, uncertainty about whether you might personally have to pay a judgment against you. So no police officer, I don't think, I'm not a police officer, but no police officer wants to admit wrongdoing. And these police officers did not admit wrongdoing. But nobody wants to have their family's financial security jeopardized by the potential of a large judgment against them that wouldn't be covered by insurance. So we owe it to these police officers, who we have a great deal of faith and confidence in, to reach a settlement in a case that could put their family in financial jeopardy.
And it says here both settlement agreements say the city isn't admitting to any liability or wrongdoing, which is what you just talked about. Now, the one of person who voted no both times was Clarissa Foreman. She was pretty passionate about, you know, I'm tired of seeing a pattern. If you have an issue with the police, that you sue. Give me your thoughts on her thoughts, I guess, and her thought process.
Well,
there.
You know, the beauty of the city council is there's nine of us, and even the eight of us who vote yes to approve the settlement might have eight different reasons. So it would be inappropriate for me to guess at her reasons. I disagree with her. I think this settlement is fair and just. And so I respect her decision. She's a bright and passionate council member. Everything doesn't have to be a unanimous vote. So she voted not to approve this settlement. I voted along with seven others on this one, or maybe six others.
Yeah, I think it was 7-2 in one and 8-1 in the other. Yeah.
Right. So, mm-hmm. You know, the overwhelming majority voted to approve these settlements. But it's not for me to second guess why somebody else would have a different point of view. Mm-hmm. We have a duty to be responsible to the citizens who have entrusted us with the city's financial health and our ability to plow the snow next winter and fight fires and fix the potholes. And we could put all of that in jeopardy if we recklessly or stubbornly went to trial on litigation that could result in an uninsured verdict against us for $30 or $40 million. That's the kind of things that bring a city to its knees.
Yeah, and I think one of the things she talked about was just this just promotes anti-police behavior, and there's always, I guess, a concern. You know, you don't want people looking at it going, hey, you know, if I feel like I've been wronged, I can sue the city. Maybe that's what she's referring to, but.
Sure. Yeah. And life, you know, life is complicated. Every decision like this has pros and cons. And I can tell you, I think that all nine of the city council members thought long and hard about what our personal decisions would be, evaluated the options, listened to the advice of experts, and came to 9 individual conclusions. Clarissa's conclusion was different than mine, but I'm sure she acted in good faith, and she thinks that what she's doing is the right answer. I think that vote I made was the right answer, and I'm happy to continue to evaluate these kinds of decisions. That's why there's 9 of us, and do the best we can to protect the city from undue exposure, keeping in mind the are you opening up Pandora's box? Are you inviting future lawsuits? This was not an easy path that Mr. Campbell went down to collect this money. He first spent 18 years in prison, and then an appeals court overturned his conviction. And then the prosecutor says, I'm not going to charge him again. I'm not going to continue with this prosecution. So all of those things were roadblocks in the way of him. He didn't just come back to the city and say, hey, I'd like some money. Would you please give it to me? This was a long time in the works.
Hey, Tom, it's great to visit with you. Thank you for your insight and your thoughts on all this, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Brian, if I got 30 more seconds.
Oh, yeah, sure.
This morning I walked over to the Dr. Howard Elementary School, which is at the corner of James and University in Champaign. Our fire department is out there with theatrical smoke billowing out the windows as they're breaking out glass and climbing in through broken windows to simulate the rescue of school children. They're going to be there 3 days this week and 3 days next week, doing intensive training in the heat in a smoke-filled building, coming in with fully charged hose lines and spraying water. It's quite a lot of training that goes on for, God forbid, should they ever have to really respond to a grade school engulfed in flames. So if you drive by University Avenue and you see 6 fire trucks out there and you see smoke, it's all training exercises, and it's quite impressive.
Yeah, I guess they're doing that before they tear the building down, right?
Correct. Yeah. The wrecking ball is not far behind.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Tom, thanks for that update and appreciate it. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Tom Bruno, Champaign City Council. There you go on last night's settlements. Hopefully that was helpful. Helpful to me. I learned quite a bit just in that conversation right there. All right. A quick break. Back with more Penny for Your Thoughts as we continue here on News Talk 1400. But now this timeout. Brian Barnhart, Penny for Your Thoughts. We had Tom Bruno on for a few minutes off the top with the big lead story in the News Gazette to News Gazette Media today, both in the paper and online and on our radio stations. 928 with the settlements. Hopefully that was helpful for you. If you have any comments or thoughts on it, 356-9397. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. The mayor of Champaign, Deb Frank Finan, was also commenting a little bit about this morning, in case you missed it. She was on with Dave Gentry earlier this morning, and here's how that went.
I think probably the one that the community is focused on is the $3.5 million.
Yeah.
That was related to a case from the 90s. It was someone who was released from jail through the Innocence Project and made allegations against our police officers and I think the prosecutor. I mean, it was sort of scattershot against a lot of people. For the city of Champaign, the insurance providers paid the entire amount, and it was really a struggle for council. We met several times in closed session to discuss this case. I can only talk from, I was going to say I can tell you a little bit more about it, but then I realized that we're not allowed to because of the terms of the settlement.
Yeah.
So what I will say is that you can listen to my comments and other council member comments from the dais where we were allowed to speak.
Okay.
And I'm going to be careful about what I say today other than we settled for that amount and the insurance company paid for it.
That was Deb Finan, the mayor of Champaign, on with Dave Gentry earlier this morning. Hey, the folks at MX Electric, if you have some electric needs, whether they're big or small, No matter, even if it is big, it's never that bad. MX Electric wants to be the company you turn to when you're in need of electrical service. They were voted the people's choice. They were voted the best for electrical work here in this area with the News Gazette Media's People's Choice. They do big jobs and small. They've got residential and commercial projects. They were involved in the Taco Bell on Neal, the Starbucks on campus, the Jimmy John's on Kirby, the Subway on Philo, all involved in that. So bigger projects, or if you just need a TV installed, they can do that for you. If you're not quite sure where all those wires are supposed to go, maybe some bulb change outs. Need to retrofit those. Of course, coming up in October, a lot of electrical stuff out there with that can be scary. So make sure you do that. Or if you're moving out of the state, say you're going to the say you're a snowbird, going to Florida, Arizona, and maybe you need some advice on what to do with your home electrically before you leave, they can help with that too. So you want to call Max, relax, call Max. Actually, you'll talk to Nikita at MX Electric. Number is 359-7293. Certainly is the way you can reach out to them, or you can email the office at mxelectric.net to get in touch with them. But MX Electric, one of our sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts, big or small issues with electricity. 9:31 here at DWS, and let's go to the news headlines with Michael Kaiser, and back with more open line time here coming up. Penny for Your Thoughts, DWS.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400, DWS. Glad you're with us, wherever you might be listening here on this September 5. One of my favorite months, 9:37 here at DWS. You've heard us talking about Woods Basement Systems. Jim talked about them for many years. They've been around since 1986. The Woods family has helped over 55,000 homeowners. That number's probably higher now. Well, I know it's higher. Mold, pests of all types and smells can get in. That's what's lurking in the dirt crawl space. Especially once the air conditioner's turned on, it's been running all summer, that moisture in the crawl space cracks will let water leak into your crawl space. That water gets trapped on top of the vapor barrier. I don't understand how all this works, but that's what they say. Top of the vapor barrier, too, and it evaporates up and into your home, and mold loves that. I know what mold is, and I know it's not good. So protect your home's investment, get your free estimate from Woods, and fix those basement and crawl space cracks once and for all. Two things happen. Cracks get worse if you ignore them. They don't go away. They do not heal themselves. And they keep stealing value from your home until the cause is fixed. They've won several awards, including the prestigious Better Business Bureau Torch Awards. Remember, Woods estimates, they don't cost you anything to get an estimate. So how much is it costing you to not fix the problem? 888-935-4333. 888-935-4333. They helped fix an issue in my basement recently and did a great job. So I can tell you that they're very, very thorough in what they do. So again, woodsbasementsystems.com, 888-935-4333. Bill texts in. He says, sounds like the message to the people of Champaign is provoke a cop, get paid, not making their job any easier or safer. That text in from Bill on the text line, 351-5357. Let's see what else is happening here. Some commentary on the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings yesterday. Washington Examiner editorial says Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings confirm Democratic cynicism. This editorial says anyone who's been in Washington for more than a decade knows there's nothing more useless than the first day of a Supreme Court hearing. Usually it consists of self-important speeches from senators that seem to stretch on the crack of doom. If there's anyone on the committee running for president, Senators Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, we're looking at you. He or she tends to be windier and say even more ridiculous things than the others. At the end, lest everyone forget what the day is for, there's usually a short speech from the nominee. The process would be shorter and better if all the speeches were axed or at most submitted in writing and entered into the Senate Judiciary Committee's record. I'd be for that. But that would deprive publicity-hungry politicians of their grandstand. And it goes on to talk about the documents and the dispute over that and everything else. So, says here, if one-fifth of them weren't running already running for president, there would be no point in any of them attending the hearing. That's from the Washington Examiner. And the White House firing back. They attacked the new book from Bob Woodward. The White House yesterday aggressively challenging aspects of Bob Woodward's explosive new book on President Trump's administration, which the Washington Post says paints a devastating portrait of a presidency careening towards a nervous breakdown. Hours after the Washington Post first reported several key incidents from Woodward's book Fear, the administration mounted a vigorous string of public denials with statements from top advisors, White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, as well as from Trump's former personal attorney, John Dowd. Mattis called the book fiction. Saunders denounced the tome in a statement as nothing more than fabricated stories, many by former disgruntled employees, without disputing any of the specifics that have been reported in excerpts. Two outside advisors say the president had complained for several weeks he didn't interview with Woodward and that his staff should have not kept such requests from him, though Woodward, in an August phone call with Trump, recounted attempts to try to speak with him. The president nonetheless was upset yesterday that in his mind he never had a chance to sit down with the author. Of course, Bob Woodward has done many White House books over the years. I always find it interesting, even no matter which party is in power presidentially, I always find it interesting why they let him in to do those kind of books. Why would you do that? But they do. They always seem to, no matter what White House it is, they always do it. And, of course, Bob Woodward built his career and legacy on the Watergate story from the 70s and all the different things he's covered over the years. So, anyway, that's the new book. I guess it's either out or coming out. They usually what they do is they leak details as they go along. And that leads up to the big explosion of information on the book. 356-9397, that's how they play the game, as they say. 356-9397 is how you can join us. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Some open line time in and around different things today. We'll talk a little more towards the end of the show about Rahm Emanuel's big move, deciding not to run for re-election up in Chicago, what that means. We'll do that late in the second hour, but otherwise, pretty much the floor is yours. We're just visiting with various people here today as we go along, including you. So join us at any point. Rob Dahlhaus is with See You at Home. How are you today, Rob?
I'm doing fantastic. It's
good.
A great day.
Yeah, you've been busy. Where have you been today? You've been around with the Good Neighbor Day.
Good Neighbor Day, yep. Started my day over here at the Urbana location, here at Blossom Basket. Went back to the Phoenix and helped our guys with the work program that we've had going the last couple weeks, given opportunity for our friends on the street to do some work and earn some money. And now I'm back at the Urbana location and just loving the weather and loving the opportunity.
Got any flowers left?
You know, we do, actually. I've heard that the champagne, I think, gave all of theirs, but we do have some more bouquets here at Urbana.
And, of course, the idea with this Good Neighbor Day is you get a dozen roses. Don't keep them all for yourself. You know, you get one, I guess, and then you hand them out to friends and strangers. Amazing what that little gesture will do, isn't it?
It's absolutely incredible, yeah. I love the idea. I know that Ron over here has been doing it for so long, and just, you know, having that giving heart, that attitude of gratitude to be able to do something for somebody else, you know, it goes a long way. And, you know, in the world we live in, it's always good to spread some cheer and some happiness to our fellow man.
Well, and part of this today, and we've been doing this at our location, we still have some roses downtown here. We've seen some people coming in to pick them up. They've been handing them out down at our old location, down at Neyland Windsor, our old studio down there.
Mm-hmm.
But also
mm-hmm.
the canned non-perishable food items, we're getting some of that, and that's to benefit the CU at Home Men's Shelter.
Right. So we've been working closely with the CU Men's Shelter here that's been operating the last couple winters in town to bring shelter back to our community. And so working with them on you know, what providing that what providing that food would look like, as well as we've got four different transitional houses in our under our umbrella of services. So, you know, working with our folks and getting them what they need. And so, it's just a great opportunity for us, and we're just blessed to be able to partner with Blossom Basket and, again, with the CU Men's Shelter. And we're excited about our move to the Time Center next Friday, actually.
Yeah, it's coming up,
isn't
it?
That will be huge. It'll be, yes, it's coming up, and it'll be a huge blessing for the ministry to be able to expand. And like I said, you know, we haven't had a 365 day a year shelter in our community for quite some time. So there's big stuff going on in the community, and I encourage anybody to check out our website, to reach out to me, and I can provide you with as much information as you would like.
Rob Dahlhaus with us here this morning for a couple minutes. So just you getting some food items too, I guess, right? Anything in particular you need, or you just take anything non-perishable?
We've had a lot of the non-perishable stuff come in. Any kind of non-perishable breakfast items would be good if folks have those. Those we can hand out to the folks leaving the shelter in the morning. So that would be wonderful. We've also got some, cash and check donations. CU at Home is 100% funded by the community. We don't have any state or federal funding, so we always accept those funds so we can continue doing what we do year after year.
Hey, Rob, thanks for the time today. Appreciate the update. Good luck out there.
Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. That's Rob Dahlhaus, CU at Home. They're accepting along with the Good Neighbor Day, you can bring by your non-perishable food items, pick up some roses. I mean, you're just doing all kinds of good today. Pick up the dozen roses. We've got them here in our, I think we still have some out there. I'll double check, but I think they're still there. And you just take one and hand out the other 11. It's amazing the reaction you get when you do that. So hope you'll do that. 356-9397 is our phone number. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or email us, talk@wdws.com. University of Illinois setting up a watch party at Huff Hall for students who did not get a ticket to see Barack Obama speak on campus this Friday. Huff's doors will open at 9 a.m. to those with a school ID. They'll shut after 10:30. Backpacks and bags will not be allowed in. That news came on the same day the U of I said 944 students were chosen by random to see the former president at Folinger Auditorium. 750, they had the numbers on this, 756 of those from the Urbana campus, the rest from either Springfield or Chicago. More than 22,000 students had thrown their name into a lottery system for a chance to see the former president. And you can hear all that live here on DWS and WDWS.com. Friday at 11 a.m. we'll start our coverage about 10:50 with our newsroom, and that will come up on Friday. Of course, we'll have Illini Friday as well on Friday. So a lot to talk about here this week. 9:48. We'll take a break. Glad you're with us, wherever you might be today. Let's hear from you now as we continue here on Penny for Your Thoughts. St. Elmo's Fire. Number one song in the country this date. It was part of a two-week run, 1985. You remember that, right? All right, 356-9397. Any excuse to play a little music once in a while. Hey, Clifford, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Say, what's the significance of some of these ball players and umpires wearing yellow armbands?
Boy, I don't know. I'm going to have to find out. Did you just notice it last night?
I've noticed it on several of the Cardinal games.
Okay. Well, let me.
In fact, one Cardinal player has a yellow sleeve he wears.
Well, yeah. Or Marcelo Zuna, he wears that. He says it helps his arm. And from what I understand, I think he gets fined a little bit every day because it's not. like uniform policy, you know, because it's yellow and the Cardinals are red.
Yeah, but some of these other players are starting to wear yellow bands.
Yeah, and I've noticed Colton Wong wearing yellow shoes on occasion. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to figure out what that is. But was it the players or are the umpires too?
Umpire. I saw one umpire had a yellow band on both arms.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
that's
I don't know.
Strange.
Yeah, that is strange. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no
maybe you can check it out and find out.
Well, when Colton Wong wore the yellow shoes, I thought it was Ronald McDonald's shoes there. I mean, they looked
yeah.
really odd, or, you know, Midas yeah. with his golden shoes or whatever. So.
Okay, but maybe you knew.
Well, I'll see what I can find out, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate it. Didn't expect that question today. Let me see, because I know why Ozuna does it, from what I'm told. And let's see here. Yellow band on umpires. What were those yellow wristbands? Well, that was from old. Let's see. Now, last year, in 2017, it said Major League umpires wearing wristbands to protest escalating verbal attacks from players. That was in August of last year. Okay, that's what I've come up with so far. But anyway, that's, I don't know, Adam, if you see anything on that, let me know. But 356-9397, or maybe our listeners know. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Swanson Roofing is one of our sponsors. Swanson Roofing, a hands-on owner from Rantoul High School and the University of Illinois. Doesn't get any more local than that, does it? Big thing is he's been with the company, his workers have, for many, many years. They were voted by the People's Choice, the best roofing company in East Central Illinois. They want every customer totally satisfied with their new roof. And they do rely on word of mouth. And they take ownership and responsibility of every past customer. They want to do a good job for you. They know that word of mouth will spread pretty quickly in this community, and that's a cornerstone of their business. They'll help you with small repairs. Maybe you don't need a whole roof. Maybe you just need to patch a hole, and that's it. Well, he can get you a free estimate on that. And, again, I always say the fear of the unknown in these cases. I don't know what this is going to cost. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe it won't be as bad as you think. Maybe it's a smaller repair. Maybe he'll tell you, yeah, you got a couple of years on this roof, so don't worry about it right now. Doesn't hurt to find out, right? Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, providing services in Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. And even if they did not do your roof, they're happy to come out and fix any issue you might have. 355-ROOF, 355-7663, or visit Swanson Roofing online at theroofingdog.com. Speaking of the Cardinal game last night, that game was a play-by-play man's nightmare. Four-hour, nine-inning game on a weeknight. Come on, guys. Pitching was optional, I think. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Just fine. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well.
I may have a possible solution as to why Ozuna wears the yellow sleeve. I believe he has had some circulation problems and numbness, and so that could be a compression sleeve that helps his circulation in that arm.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I know you've seen some basketball players wear them over time, you know, and they say that helps with some of that, I think.
Well, I've also seen some professional bowlers wear compression sleeves on their arms when they bowl, and I could certainly understand that.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And let's see here. Marcelo Zuna finally explains the neon sleeve. That was from June of 08, and says how neon arm sleeves have become a popular trend in Major League Baseball. So let's see if there's anything in there. But that might explain it. Yeah, there's something to do with it physically or mentally in some cases.
Well, he was having some problems with some numbness that he was coming back from surgery or an injury, and it could be part of that.
Okay. Well, that's a good thought.
All right. Well, have a good day.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Thanks for passing that along. 9:57 here at DWS. Now, some of these other players are also Says the neon arm sleeve is without a doubt an incredibly flashy look. Some people enjoy it because of that. Others find it to be completely unprofessional. Other major league players need to take their team colors into account far more than they do now. Neon is a color that is not suited for every team. Now, somebody texted in, said the Cardinals, which they are, I knew this, they're wearing number 2 on their sleeve because of Red Shane Deeds. I knew that. 9:58, let's go to Rich. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good.
I think I have an answer for you on the yellow wristbands that are being worn.
Oh, okay.
You know, Mother's Day weekend, they wear the pink for the breast cancer, and Father's Day weekend, they wear the blue for the prostate cancer. So I don't know how many years this is. I think 3 or 4 around the 1st of September, Labor Day weekend. So the yellow wristbands are childhood cancer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it says here somebody else called in off air and said the same thing. Yellow band is in support of childhood cancer awareness. Okay.
Yeah, so very similar to the Mother's Day and Father's Day emphasis they've done for years. I think this is a newer emphasis, but it's always around Labor Day weekend.
Okay. Well, I was unaware of that. They also do the camouflage on some of the, the military, Memorial Day weekend and so forth, too. So,
correct.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's helpful. Thank you, Rich.
Have a great day.
I appreciate it. Well, there's some answers for you. See, we have listeners tuned in. They know all this this information. So I appreciate that. Yeah, I didn't know about the childhood cancer awareness. Usually I'm a little tuned in on some of the things they're doing, but on that one I missed. So that's good. All right, 9:59, more open line time after the news here on DWS, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, back on Penny for Your Thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday. It probably feels like Tuesday, I know, because of Labor Day on Monday. Talked quite a bit this morning on a variety of issues, including Marcelo Zuna's yellow sleeve. We got into that near the end of the first hour. Open line time here in hour number 2. We're talking about Rahm Emanuel not running for re-election in Chicago a little bit later on in this hour. We've heard from Tom Bruno from the Champaign City Council. We heard from the mayor, Deb Finan. Of course, the settlements for the Champaign City Council last night, votes were 7-2 and 8-1. Clarissa Forman was, of course, there as well last night. And I know she's just got just a few minutes today, but Clarissa, good to have you on. And you were consistently a no vote on those two settlements. So kind of just wanted to give you a couple of minutes to talk about why you voted no.
Well, thanks for having me. Mostly just because me and you both know, and I think everybody else, those lawyers are going through the mugshots on newsgut.com, and they're getting their clients. And we're a target at this point. And I think it's bad. It's just bad to continue this trend of, since I've been sitting on the council, it's been about 3 years now, we have settled a lot of lawsuits. And I just don't see that as being a pattern in any other communities that are around us. And I'm just concerned that it promotes anti-police behavior. And with what's going on, I walked out my house last week and a little boy was dead on the street. And I need people to talk to the police. And if we keep doing things like this that make the police bad and anti-police, I can't get anybody to solve murders. You know what I mean? Rashidi Overstreet's murder is still unsolved. And I just, those things weigh on me heavily. And so I felt it was important to just stand up and say, no, I'm tired of it. It needs to stop.
So what would be the alternative in the case of the one, the really big settlement had to go with the case where everything was overturned, he was proven innocent, or the judges all weighed in, and eventually it was thrown out after spending a lot of time in prison.
What I understand, the judges overturned it. He gave him a certificate of innocence, but that didn't necessarily point to the city or the officers doing any wrong doing their conduct. So, I mean, these were good officers. They are. And so I'm concerned about, you know, that was my own opinion. I can't speak for the rest of the council members, but for me personally, I did not agree with that decision. But obviously it passed and the settlement is done and it's gone and our liability risk is gone. Obviously it was really high. So I understand it was a business decision for the rest of the council. But for me and my particular spot, I felt it was important to say no.
Yeah, and so I know you've talked about that with, you know, I guess nurturing anti-police behavior, which has also been a big issue at times in our community, right?
Oh, it's a huge issue. And like I said, this young boy was shot last week, and I was outside, and I watched the police knock on door after door after door, and people had driveways full of cars, and they did not open the door. And that is that's very scary, and that makes me concerned. You saw the police lights. You see the ambulances. Open the door. And so, you know, I just want to promote, you know, I want people to speak to the police and feel comfortable talking to the police. But if we start promoting this, oh, we're scared of the police and I won't talk to them, they're, you know, that makes me concerned. Your interactions with the police obviously are personal, and I don't necessarily know why everybody has police contact. But for the other lawsuit, I mean, I'm just concerned that, you know, if I bump into a police officer, hey, I can get $300,000. That it's just alarming to me.
Yeah,
it's very alarming.
So your concern is for the police, too, I mean, on their part, so that they can do their jobs effectively. Yeah.
Yes, because they... And that's the main thing is I do understand that things happen. And obviously, police officers do things that are not okay, and that we have an issue with in the nation. But I don't think that in this particular case, or even in other cases, that that you know, constantly, you know, sometimes it is this. We go over their behavior and we say they didn't do anything wrong. But then when you write a check for $300,000, people find it really hard to believe that you didn't do anything wrong. You know, the truth gets out of bed. I mean, lies get out of bed way before the truth ever wakes up.
And let me ask you before I let you go, Clarissa, what do you make of the other council members' arguments that say, hey, if we don't settle this, it could be a lot more expensive for the city?
I mean, I do believe the potential liability and the exposure was really great for the city, but I also represent a district where people are living in squalor, and the phone calls and the emails I got were, hey, do you know what $3.7 million could do for our unhealthy neighborhoods? So those are the calls that I'm dealing with. The other council members probably get different calls about, like, they don't like golf carts in their neighborhood and things like that. I have dead kids on the sidewalk. So, you know, my responsibility and my perspective is completely different.
Mm-hmm. Well, Clarissa, I know you have to get back to what you're doing. I appreciate you checking in with us for a few minutes and kind of expanding on your thoughts from last night. I always feel like, you know, a 15-second soundbite always doesn't sum everything up. So I thought that might be good to have you on.
So. Thank you. I appreciate the invitation. Please, anytime.
All right. Thank you, Clarissa.
Thank you. Have
appreciate it. Yeah, Clarissa Foreman, who's on the Champaign City Council. She was the lone no vote. It was a vote 7-2, I think. Greg Stock was one of the no votes, I think, if I read that right. It was 7-2 and then 8-1. So anyway, that was the settlement story. I just wanted to kind of get her thoughts out there as well. Let's Penny, for your thoughts. Phone lines are full. Mike from Champaign says, cheers for council members who voted no. Champaign won't fight any lawsuits, and Tom Bruno behind a lot of the settlements. That is from Mike in Champaign. To the phones we go to Zoe. Good morning, Zoe.
Well, good morning, Brian. I called about a couple things. Oh, first of all, I don't live in Champaign, actually. So I don't know why I'm interested so much, but I used to live in Champaign, and I most of my life. And so, but I really do like this Clarissa Foreman, and if I could, I'd vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with her.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, she kind of took the words out of my mouth, so I won't even repeat them. She pretty much said what a lot of us think. And I respect her a lot, and so thank you for having her on.
That No problem. No, she. I always think, you know, sometimes we hear sound bites, and you know, sound bites, you have to get them in a newscast. You got to squeeze it down to, you know, a long sound bite is 15-20 seconds. And you know, sometimes that you can't always get the thoughts behind why they said that or what the vote is. You know, why they voted
right.
That way. So I think it helps to kind of get it expanded a little bit.
That's right. And the other thing I called about is the Kavanaugh hearings yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I guess most people by now probably realize these unruly protesters, including Linda Sarsour, who was an anarchist, really, and an advocate of bringing Sharia law into our country, were paid. And there were three physicians who were waiting in the line and saw money changing hands. And people were being told to scream, and that hopefully some of them would be arrested. This was all, you know, paid and planned by certain elements
Yeah, well, that was my question. I just wonder how they get in there. I'm like, now, wait a minute. How did all these people get in there? It just makes you, either they're really paying attention to the news or, you know, they're being encouraged to be there. But it just, and what it is, it's also like theater. Timing is everything, and you do it right off the top, and it's like, oh my goodness, look at all the fireworks, and that makes all the news because you know, all the pictures you get is people being dragged out of a building, and it's like, okay, so
well,
that
theater, yeah, theater's the word for it. And the other thing is that Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin were behind a lot of this. They actually organized these protests, and I actually called Senator Durbin's office yesterday and spoke with a lady, and I told her how wrong I thought it was, and I said a couple times to make sure I emphasized it that I realized he was behind a lot of this, he and Schumer and some other Democrats, and I think it's shameful. And I was very polite to her. I didn't, you know, she was a very nice lady, and I think she was a little bit shocked. I don't think she realized. She didn't say a lot, but I just could hear it in her voice. I could hear the shock, because I think a lot of people have no idea what's going on. And I would encourage other people to maybe make a phone call or two, but you know, I would also encourage people to be polite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's always
but
important.
But I was very, firm in what I said, too. I didn't back down either, but I was the people that take the calls are just people taking calls and they're, mm-hmm. It's not their fault.
That's their job. So, yeah, that's right.
So anyway, I just wanted to say that. And I guess they're doing it today too. And some of them I know were given, some of them I'm sure were given passes by, these legislators' offices so that they could get in.
Well, it was quite a scene, passed. That's for sure. And if they wanted to make a scene, they made it. So.
Yeah, that was pretty ugly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Zoe. Appreciate it. I know I've been on a tour of the House of Representatives side. This is the Senate Judiciary Committee going on here, but the House of Representatives, when you go in the chamber there, you can't take anything. You got to just basically go in with your clothes, and you barely get to keep those. I mean, they don't let you take anything in there, much less make any noise. I mean, you got to be quiet. So I'm always puzzled by how people get in like that. Tony, good morning.
Hi, I'm calling about Nike.
Yeah.
I think they know what they're doing. Is, remember the Charles Barkley, I'm not a role model?
Yep.
And there's lots of articles out there now where two-thirds of Nike's customers are 35 or under. So they're not the ones caring about the yellow bands on the Cardinals. Those people don't care about baseball. and that's their target market. It's and it's a racially diverse. I mean, basically, it's black males buying a lot of the Nike. Mm. So they know exactly what they're doing. And when they had the Nike boycott Nike on Twitter, it got a lot of people agreeing with boycott Nike. But there was more positive out of Nike than the boycott. So.
Yeah.
I was a little leery at first whether I should buy Nike stock or not, but I think they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, well, that's obviously the people have thought that through at that level. They think that they will be okay, or they probably wouldn't have done it. So,
and the best thing they said on the internet is Nike doesn't care if you burn their clothes after you've already bought them, which I love. Right? You've already bought them, so why would they care if you burn them?
Somebody suggested don't burn them, just donate them. If you don't want your, give them to somebody who might use them. But
well, I've been an Adidas person for the last 5 years, so it doesn't really bother me. I just think it's interesting how people get up in arms about this.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate your thoughts today. Thank you. All right, let's take another quick break, Adam, and get this in real quick, and then we'll come back with more. We got news. We got more phone calls. Busy time today. We'll talk a little bit about Rahm Emanuel towards the end of the show after this. Mm-hmm. 10:31. Michael Keaton with a birthday today. 67. Bob Newhart is 89 today. We got the news coming up here with Michael. Let's go to Greg, who waited through the break. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Brian. You guys had talked a little bit earlier about Obama coming to speak, President Obama. I thought it was interesting. You guys kind of touched on it, the crowd size. And, Obama's having, 900-some students come listen.
Mm-hmm. That's all they can fit in there. I think that's capacity. But
yeah. It would seem to me they could get, the assembly or State Farm Center, Memorial Stadium if they'd have wanted to. But, it's funny. The current president doesn't seem to have any problem getting large crowd sizes, and they don't really orchestrate, obviously, who gets in or whatnot, because a lot of times there's protesters in there. It's kind of a contrast. I mean, as much as the national media made Obama out to be, a man of the people, and they try to make it seem like the current president, is despised by all. It's a real reality check, I guess, for those that pay attention. I know people that don't like the president, they're not going to pay attention to any of that, but I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, well, it is, and they had a lot of people apply to get in. They're going to do an overflow at Huff, so there'll be a few there too. So, hey, Greg, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you, Brian. Yep,
have a great day. Michael Kaiser here with the news next on DWS.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Penny for Your Thoughts on this September the 5th. Glad to be with you today on Penny for Your Thoughts. Hey, Busey, All You Need Is Love and Financial Intimacy. September among the most popular months to get married, they say. I didn't know that. I thought June was. I guess it's probably the most popular. September is among those, it says. Before you walk down the aisle, though, Busey suggests setting a solid financial footing. They say, will you and your spouse-to-be keep finances separate or combined? Consider individual spending and saving habits when you make that decision. Make a decision together that works for both of you. Couples that tackle money issues together and take responsibility for solving them will find their relationship is the better for it. Share the credit. Let your spouse-to-be know your credit situation and vice versa. If you're marrying into a lot of debt, make sure you're aware of that, right? Cupid's arrow. Develop a plan to shoot down existing debt, starting with the balances that carry the highest interest rates. Sweet savings. Decide how much you want to save as a couple and withdraw the funds automatically from your paychecks. When you're just starting out or celebrating your milestone anniversary, Busey can provide an array of solutions tailored to your specific needs. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations today and make sure you get a hold of them. All right, 356-9397, busy time here with some open line time. Doug jumps on the line with us. Hi, Doug. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brian. So I was watching TV this morning, and they had the New York Police and Fire Department that responded to the World Trade Center on 911 there, and they still can't get their medical care. I think if you recall, and Carol Burrell, and you guys got all the reports and everything, our team under former U of I Police Chief Paul Dowlands had trained the New York Police and Fire Department Emergency Services Unit on chemical and biological casualties, if you remember. And I'm looking at one of the letters from a lieutenant that was in charge of World Trade Center, and he still can't get his medical care. It's just absolutely atrocious what's happened. I mean, the contamination, when all the explosions happened in the World Trade Center with the contamination, we had the depleted uranium from the missiles that hit there on the tower. We know that's all confirmed. And yet they're coming up today, all these years later, the same problem has happened. We can't get medical care for the New York Police and Fire Department. And like the lieutenant here that sent me a letter said, Doug, help us, help us, help us. And people don't know. I'm not sure they're aware of it and what happened because, after we trained the New York Police and Fire Department, Ronald Dolph and the rest of our team, we went all over the nation and taught 120 cities trying to get them prepared. And, you know, the same thing here. And all that training has gone the way of the dodo bird locally, too, because the Weber's retired, Amy Richards retired, all of us retired, Gary Brinkley retired, Slate's retired. So there's no response here either if anything goes sour. And I don't know how to get this fixed, because when I'm watching TVDA, here's my guys that we had taught on TV, sick from responding to World Trade Center, and they still can't get care. And, and the officer was loud and clear, as we know, they're continuing to die every day.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your updates on this, Doug, and hopefully my producer passed along a number for you, so maybe we'll see if that can help. So
I didn't know I was over at the doctor getting my own care for my own problems, and I just found out. I'll call those people right away.
Okay. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it. Go ahead and dial up our next person here, Adam, if you will, but 356-9397. Let's go to Jim on the line. Good morning, Jim.
Yes, Brian, good morning. Say, Brian, you might know this, or I got this question. Do you know whether the football team or the basketball, in other words, the athletic department, have any kind of a contract with Nike?
Yeah, yeah, the whole thing is with Nike. That's the
Well, I think that's an abomination. Here we got these columns on Memorial Stadium, and that was built with a memorial for the veterans, and that Kaepernick has disgraced the veterans and the flag and all that, and I think that is a damnable abomination, then, that the athletic department has a contract with Nike, and that is just like pulling your pants down and you know what in the veteran's face if they keep this up. After Kaepernick has disgraced, I'm a veteran myself. Luckily, I didn't have to dodge bullets. But I think that's a disgrace that our athletic department does not discontinue this contract with Nike. I mean, with, you know, with Memorial Stadium and all that. And I'll tell you one thing, I'll never go to another game myself. As long as this keeps up.
Well, yeah, I know they all of their they had. I don't know how long their contract is with Nike, but I know all of the you know, the whole shield with the change in logo from a few years ago, and all of the gear. It's all Nike. So,
well, I'll tell you what, I want to speak to all the veterans out there. Then I think we ought to boycott the stadium and the assembly hall, any of the soccer, any of the baseball, any of that stuff, till they can get this contract null and void. That's the way it is. I mean, and any veteran out there, if you think about it, think what he's doing to us. Not only us, to anybody that is an American and will not stand for the flag. And, I mean, that just galls me, because I didn't have it hard, but like some of these guys, but I'll tell you what, that's an abomination that our athletic director in a big school like that is condoning. I know it just started, but they're condoning this guy that kneels and will not stand for our flag.
All right.
M. Prima Donna, that's what he is. Okay, that's all I got.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. 356-9397. By the way, the someone wondered why Obama, the former president, did not choose a larger venue for his speech here on campus on Friday, such as the State Farm Center, the Krannert Center, or Memorial Stadium. Those venues do have other events that would have complicated the setup. Concerts tonight, Wednesday, Counting Crows. Friday night, Jake Owen. And then, of course, a football game at the stadium on Saturday. Krannert Center is being set up for its 50th anniversary celebration on Friday night. So that would explain some of that. Brian Barnhart with you. Penny, for your thoughts. Rahm Emanuel announced, big announcement yesterday, that he is not going to run for re-election. Andrea Darlis, U of I alum and up at WGN, radio and TV. Andrea, how are you?
Hi, Brian. Nice to talk to you again, and hi to everybody in Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah, doing well. We're getting ready for the former president here on Friday.
I hear that. I actually wanted to come down and see him speak. He's at Folinger, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Speaking at Folinger, yeah. I would highly encourage anybody you know, put all politics aside, if you've never heard Barack Obama speak, he's an excellent speaker. I would highly encourage. I know it's student. Is it student only, Brian?
Yeah, they well, they had like 22,000 applied for the lottery, and they only had room for just under 1,000, I think.
Yeah,
at Folinger.
It's going to be a very good, very good speaker. No matter which side of the political aisle you fall on.
Well, I'm sure if you I'm sure if you came down, they'd let you walk right in.
They'd say block the door.
Well, tell me real quick. I just wanted to have you on for a couple minutes to talk about Rahm Emanuel. Was that a shock yesterday?
Brian, oh my goodness. Let me tell you. So last week we've been gearing up for this mayoral election, and we have the mayor on WGN Radio usually once a month, and it's a very candid conversation. We talk about events, beautifying the Riverwalk, things of that sort that the mayor wants to tout, but it's also kind of a time for him to relax and be himself, and he'll talk about his garden and the kale that he grows, and he's very into healthy eating and fitness, so we'll talk along those lines. Never gave any indication that he wasn't going to seek re-election. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend, and she said, do you think Mayor Emanuel is going to run again? I said, absolutely. And she said, what are the chances you think percentage-wise that he won't run? And Brian, I said, zero. I said, 100% he'll run. I don't see why he wouldn't run, even with all of the protests that we've had up here lately and a lot of calls on some of the movements to have him step down. I did not personally see this coming. It was a bit of a shock to me.
So who is going to be next then? Who is going to win?
Well, this is that's a great question. That's the $64 million question, as they say. There are 10 other candidates. The closest candidates who I would see are former police superintendent Gary McCarthy or our former school chief Paul Vallis. And I'm sure you're familiar with that name as well, Paul Vallis, kind of a champion for education. Mm-hmm. He led the Chicago Public Schools, then he went to Philadelphia and New Orleans. So Gary McCarthy, Paul Vallis have the biggest names. There's also a former school principal named Troy LaRavier, who's making a name for himself, and a woman named Lori Lightfoot, who is making a name for herself as the former head of the Police Oversight Board, the Citizens Police Oversight Board. So I would say those are the maybe the closest in line at this point. Mm-hmm. But Mayor Emanuel made an interesting statement yesterday when he dropped the bombshell and said he's not going to run. He said he doesn't think his successor is in the race yet.
Hmm. So would one of the Daily Boys be in there? Would one of the Daily Boys be in there?
Possibly. That's not completely off on the other end of the court. One of the Daily, possibly John Daly, who's a Cook County commissioner. Mm-hmm. Or here's another name, Brian, that's surfaced in the past 2 days. Lisa Madigan, our Illinois Attorney General, who announced abruptly, same type of scenario, that she wasn't going to seek another term as Attorney General. And again, putting politics aside, if you take her last name out of the equation, she's been a good Attorney General for the state of Illinois. She's done her part. She stayed on top of consumer fraud. She works very closely with the Better Business Bureau of Illinois. So she's done a good job as Attorney General. Whether she wants it, I know she has two daughters, is a whole other question.
I was going to say, I mean, that's not that she couldn't handle it. She's been, as you say, she's been very much at a high level in the state. But, I mean, that's being the mayor of Chicago is not like, you know, I think unlike any other job, I would think.
I agree. Absolutely. We were talking about this on our show last night. Would you want to be mayor? And I said, of course, because, you know, you love the city. It's, you know, you're born and raised in Chicago. It's a wonderful place. It's a great city. But the pressures of the job and the blame game, I mean, really, he's the CEO of the city. Mm. So you're gonna take reap the benefits and also the consequences of many things, too. He made an interesting statement yesterday, Brian. He said, being mayor has been the job of a lifetime, but not the job for a lifetime, which I found interesting, too. And you know, and Rahm Emanuel is another one. All of his kids are either in college or out of the house. And he has a great relationship, obviously, with his wife. So a lot of people are saying maybe he wants to write books or work for the Obama Foundation, which is up and running here in Chicago, or spend time with his wife.
Well, a lot less pressure, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know. No.
All right. Well, Andrea, thanks. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again in the future. You're talking to Paul Vallis tonight, I guess, right? On your show?
Yeah, we're talking to, we have Paul Vallis on our show tonight. And I don't think this is the last we'll hear of Rahm Emanuel. Mm. I think he will at some point surface again, whether it's in politics or the private sector, I'm not sure. But he's still a powerful figure in politics up here. So I don't think we've seen the last of him yet, Brian. We'll keep you posted, though.
All right. Thank you, Andrea. Have a great day,
okay? Okay, take care. You too now. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. U of I alum, WDWS radio alum, WGN radio, TV in Chicago. Andrea Darlis on the Rahm Emanuel deciding not to run for re-election. Anna Wall is with us. Hi, Anna Wall.
I'm sorry I'm a little late calling.
That's okay.
But I wanted to respond to the gentleman, the veteran, who spoke prior to this lady.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with everything he says because I am a veteran. And all that I am and all that I ever hope to be, and God has blessed me, I've been successful, is due to the United States of America. Now, not all people are perfect, and not all people will be perfect. I don't go around criticizing people who don't think like me. I try to win their friendship to get them to think like me because I think most of the time I try to go along with the facts and not just what I want. So I want to thank that veteran, whatever his name was, I didn't get it,
mm-hmm.
who spoke before this lady. For the comments that he made. And as a veteran, I agree with him completely. Because with all our faults, with all our mistakes, I operate under the assumption that this is the best country in the world. Not only for white folks, but black folks and all the other folks that come here, if they take advantage of the opportunities which are available. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna Wall. A quick break. Back with more. Penny for your thoughts. Got a couple callers waiting, a couple of emails that have come in. We'll do that next. Back on Penny for your thoughts. Hello, Brian. The section of I-74 named in honor of the ISP trooper who died there as a result of the traffic accident. The Pantograph reported in November 2017 that the accident report indicated that the accident resulted from the trooper's failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. It appears that inattentive, distracted driving was the major factor in the accident. That seems to have been whitewashed by ISP. Not to take away from the fact the trooper died while on duty or his career, but I have to wonder about naming the stretch of road for an accident he caused rather than use the accident as a teachable public service tool about the dangers of distracted driving. Take care. That's Steve. Also, a texter says, I'm with the last caller. Illinois football shouldn't be associated with violence against the police, talking about Nike and Kaepernick and the fact that Illinois Athletics has a contract with Nike. We have Doobie Brother tickets before you can buy them on Friday from the State Farm Center. If you're interested in one of the 10 pairs we have to give away, two ways to enter. Send us a text with the word Doobies, D-O-O-B-I-E-S, and your name to our Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Or email doobiebrothers@wdws.com, doobiebrothers@wdws.com, with your name and daytime phone number. All right, let's see if we can get to the calls here in 4 minutes. Hi, Jim, good morning.
Morning, Brian, how are you?
Good.
I want to try and clarify something here, and I guess it's important for me to also state that I am a veteran of the United States Navy. Not sure what the branch is. Were of Anna Wall. I believe she was in the Army, but I'm not sure. And the gentleman who called, and she wondered what his name, he was Jim, didn't say what branch he was in, but that he was a veteran. I'm a veteran also, and there are many, many veterans like me who are very upset about the fact that people have allowed the current president to take this situation with Colin Kaepernick and turn it into something it is not. And they have taken offense when offense was never sent their way. They have made this into a situation that it was never at. And now it's been so blown out of proportion that everyone now has to pick a side. Are you for veterans? Are you against veterans? I'm a football fan, man. This doesn't have to. This is just, it's so ridiculous to then turn around and try and hold the university responsible because they have a contract with Nike. Nike supports, I mean, I think gives all of the uniforms to all of the teams in football, at least in the pros, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know what their contract is, but
this was never about Colin Kaepernick dissing, as it were, our veterans, our flag, the national anthem. It was never about that. I can understand how it's been turned around, and now people think that they need to express themselves. But that's not what it's about. Anna Wall said she wants everything. She wants people to be her friend. She wants everything based in fact. The fact is that Colin Kaepernick was trying to draw attention to some real social problems. He did not once, nor has he ever, said anything bad about our military or our flag. It was a veteran Green Beret, a member of the Green Beret, who was the one that suggested to him that he kneel instead of sitting, because kneeling was actually rather, kneeling is a sign of...
Yeah, respect. Hey, Jim, I hate to cut you off, but I got to run. But I thank you. Okay?
Thank you.
Have a great day on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. Back tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Have a great day.